Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
The Duke's with us this morning. Duke, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Cozzy. Very well. It's been a massive, massive weekend of greyhound racing. The fairy tales continued at Sandown Park last Thursday night, Cozzy, because we had another, what we term, battling trainer, or not a big name, take out the Group 1 event. And that made it the three Group 1s there at Sandown Park over the previous 2 weeks had been taken out by people who won their first ever Group 1 event, the likes of Steve Creighton, Jeff Scott-Smith, and then on Thursday evening, Gerry O'Keefe took it out with bells are ringing in the Group 1 Sandown Cup, and we're going to speak with Gerry in just a moment. Saturday night, of course, was the culmination of 2 years of really hard work for the Richmond Greyhound Club when they staged the inaugural running of the Richmond Riches Puppy Classic, and 30 Talks continued the fairy tale there as well. The dreams came true. He was the top lot at the 2014 auction when Lenny Antonio paid $30,000 for him as a five-month-old pup, and we'll speak with his trainer, Tony Brett, this morning on Going Greyhounds. We'll also speak with Brad Adam, the general manager of the Richmond Race Club, to catch up and see his thoughts on how the night eventuated. And we'll also speak with one of New South Wales' real up-and-coming trainers, a guy that's having a terrific run at the moment. He was born into the greyhound racing industry. Dean Swain will join us on Going Greyhounds a little bit later. But let's take a look at the feature events from around Australia for the past week or so. In the Winter Chase Final at Albion Park, was taken out by the little grand galloper of the creek, Cindy's Magic, for trainer Billy Elson. She'll go around in the Group 1 Gold Cup heats this Thursday night. The Group 1 Sandown Cup, bells are ringing, beat Houday and Zipping Cane in 42.02. We had a couple of listed events there as well. The Cup Night Stayers went to Mapunga Rosie, which beat Dr. Leonardo and Rhino's Raider in 42.12. And the Cup Night Sprint, it went to Both Sides Now for Angela Langton, which beat Demon Bale and Benta Bale. Across in the West on Saturday evening, I tell you, there was plenty of cheering at Richmond on Saturday night when Millie Keeping, owned by Shane Stiff and Charmaine Roberts and trained by Terry Erenshaw, it beat the Dead Heaters in Fabregal and Olivia Benson to take out the $40,000 first prize. The Richmond Riches Puppy Classic, it was taken out by 30 Talks, which beat Joanna and Vidi Vici. It was an excitement-filled race from the moment the boxes opened. And on Sunday evening, the Canberra Legends was staged and Reefed and Treasure was victorious in that for trainer Margaret Benneman. I've been fortunate to be trackside at so many big events. And I tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen a smile on someone's face as big as what it was on Gerry O'Keefe after bells are ringing, took out the Group 1 Sandown Cup on Thursday night. To many, it was an upset, but to its trainer, it certainly wasn't. And Gerry O'Keefe joins us this morning on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Gerry.
Morning, Mark.
Have you died down from the celebrations? Have they eased up on you?
Celebrations are continuing. I feel with the exception of you, Mark, I feel like I'm being hounded by the media, but it's wonderful. It's a great feeling. Been contacted in the last 24 hours by the Irish Sporting Press, who want to run a story on the little bells are ringing, and her Irish connections and mine, because she's, of course, by Kinloch Bray. And so the festivities and the fun just continues to roll on, Mark.
Good stuff. And you've made your way up to Queensland. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But you mentioned the litter, and she's by Kinloch Bray, out of Absolute Stunner. And it is an absolute stunning litter because it includes not only Bells Are Ringing, a Group 1 Sandown Cup winner. It also includes Ring the Bell and Blazing Bomber, which is prepared by Darren Pattinson as well. And it was bred by your son-in-law.
Yes, bred by my son-in-law, Glenn, reared by him. The whole litter were reared by him. We had the choice of Ring the Bell or Blazing Bomber, and with our usual brand of accuracy and diligence, chose Ring the Bell instead of Blazing Bomber. But as I said to you on Thursday night, Mark, and I've still got that same smile on my face, we are living the dream.
You certainly are, mate. And we'll talk through that race because she bounced down in front. It was a terrible night weather-wise at Sandown Park, and it was a night that favoured front runners. Having said that, she beat seven of the best stayers in Australia to take out the Group 1 Sandown Cup. And as I mentioned this morning in my preamble, it was your first ever Group 1 place getter. It was your first ever Group 1 winner.
First ever Group 1 winner. I'd been honoured to be in three Group 1s prior to that, for a last, a second last, and a third last. I didn't think she was without a chance. I didn't think there was a lot of speed inside her, and the fortune always favours those who are out in front on a night such as last Thursday night.
She's won 16 and she's had 10 minor placings from 39 starts, and of course on Thursday evening she boosted her bank balance significantly with $175,000 going to Connections. Jerry, you had a long break from greyhound racing due to work and family commitments, and you've only been back in it for a couple of years now.
That's correct. Had 28 years off, Mark, when lost a little bit of passion for greyhound racing after being involved in the 70s and 80s as a young fella, started at the age of 17, was very keen to learn. Not sure where that interest came from, because nobody else in the family was interested in greyhounds. My brother Des runs the Victorian Jockeys Association, and there was a connection with horse racing, but nothing with greyhounds.
He's a good man, Des O'Keefe. I've had a little bit to do with him over the past. And as you say, that connection in greyhound racing for you came out of nowhere. Who were your mentors in the early days, Jerry?
I was fortunate enough when I was turned about 18 to be mentored by a fellow who's died now called Wally Kalman, who had kennels down at Rosebud. But then I worked for Carl and Pat Hass. And I spent the longest time with Daryl and Judy Thomas at Tynong. They had a Melbourne Cup winner in Royal Rumpus, owned by Des Scanlon, and spent a lot of time with them. When the work and family commitments overtook the racing, I didn't have much involvement in greyhound racing. I didn't follow it at all. I didn't follow the results or who was having success with their dogs. And then, of course, Mark, as I may have mentioned, came to a bit of a crossroads in my life, having been employed by the Department of Agriculture for 35 years and retiring at the age of 62, what am I going to do? A lot of people have this dilemma that you've got to keep doing something. If you don't do something, you just get old. So my thought was physical activity, great, because we walk our dogs every morning. Mental activity, there's always that as you try and place your dogs to advantage to put them in the weakest possible race where you've got the best chance of winning. And I thought, and as I've mentioned in previous discussions, the inevitability of the nursing home will kick in 20 years' time.
Not for a while, mate.
It's going to happen to all of us. And keep us fit and as active as for as long as possible.
But as I say, you're living the dream. And tell us, you know, what... I know the money is significant, but for you it's not about the money. It's the enjoyment that you get. When she crossed the line in front on Thursday night and you actually realised that you had trained a Group 1 winner, can you tell me what the first thoughts were that went through your head?
Mark, I've got to tell you, it's probably taken 2 or 3 days for the realisation of the significance of what's happened to sink in. I was just happy to see her earn prize money. And as I mentioned, I would have been rapt with third place. I would have been disappointed with fourth place, because for that you get no money whatsoever. But when that little brindle thing is of 24 kilos is sailing along in front on a wet and windy night at Sandown, and just other dogs are threatening her and catching up to her, and then she just kicks away. What was I thinking, Mark? Probably not a great deal. Yeah, that's nice. Prestige is the one that's dawning on me as much as anything. The messages of congratulations that I got from the other trainers, the heartfelt congratulations that I got from the other trainers behind the boxes really meant a great deal to me. I thought they were exceptionally genuine, and they were really happy to see somebody else win a Group 1. If it wasn't them, you know, they were happy to see somebody else who hadn't won a Group 1 win a race. And I was really touched by that.
Yeah, I can certainly concur with that, because, as I say, I've been fortunate to be behind the boxes for some of the biggest and most significant races in Australian greyhound racing. And as I say, the congratulations from the other trainers and the big-name trainers as well, the likes of Jason Thompson and Anthony Azzopardi. They were genuine. And as people will see on the Catching Pen tomorrow night, one of the most articulate post-race interviews I have ever conducted in my life was done with you, and it was something that will live long in my memory. And Jerry, you've made your way up to Queensland because we have heats of the Group 1 Gold Cup this week, and you're lucky to be staying with a legend of the game up there in Tony Zemmett, who of course prepared a champion stayer in Trojan Tears. Has Tony been passing on any tips here?
Only arrived here yesterday afternoon. When we left sunny Gippsland in down in Victoria, the top temperature was 7 degrees. It's now a glorious 21 degrees up in Brisbane yesterday and today. Tony and Marie Zammit have exceeded any possible expectation in their generosity and their hospitality. Tony made a space for the two dogs. Both Ring the Bell and Bells Are Ringing will go around at Albion Park on Thursday night. And I'm taking particular notice of the way Tony does the business because there's a lot to learn from that young man.
He's certainly, he's semi-retired now is probably the best way to put it as far as training goes. But he has forgotten more than what most of us will ever be lucky enough to know in our greyhound racing careers. Jerry O'Keefe, it was an absolute pleasure to see you win the Group 1 Sandown Cup. Best of luck with Ring the Bell and, of course, Bells Are Ringing this week in the Group 1 Gold Cup heats at Albion Park.
Mark, I'm not sure if there's any good luck left in our good luck buckets. I think we may have used the whole lot up last Thursday, but if there is any, I'll look forward to speaking to you at Albion Park on Thursday week.
Good on you. Jerry O'Keefe joining us there on Going Greyhounds this morning. Now, we talk about luck, and last week I wrote a story on the Sky Racing website about Lenny Antonio, a man who paid $30,000 for 30 talks as a five-month-old pup. And the whole context of the story was how lucky Lenny had been in life in the sense that he'd recovered from stage 4 prostate cancer. He'd suffered bone cancer. He'd overcome 2 heart attacks. That was on Tuesday afternoon that I wrote the story. On Wednesday, Lenny Antonio was involved in a terrible car accident on his way back from Churchill out near Ipswich, heading back to his home. He had to be helicoptered out of the crash scene. He's been in hospital ever since. He suffered a broken arm, terrible bruising to his body. I have spoken to him on the phone. He is okay. I haven't been able to speak to him since 30 Talks took out the Richmond Riches Puppy Classic, but I spoke with his wife, Gloria, and she told me that he'd be over the moon. So if we talk about luck, Tony Brett, the trainer of 30 Talks, Lenny Antonio has got it in spades.
Yeah, mate, Jerry talks about using up your luck. Lenny certainly has, mate. He's come out of this very good, and, mate, he's got the winner, and I know how much that perked him up.
It's a long way from buying a greyhound pup, as any of us have done, with all the dreams and aspirations that we have when they're 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months of age. It's a long way from dreaming about what a greyhound can do and actually seeing it. But as I say, for him to pay $30,000 for it as a five-month untried pup, he bought it on confirmation. He said he never studied the pedigree. He studied the dog. And on Saturday night, it was a fairy tale for the Richmond Greyhound Club as well, because it was the culmination of the Richmond Riches. These pups went through the auction back in 2014. And to see the sales topper come out and win, it was a dream come true for the club. 20 metres out of box rise, Tony Brett, how were you feeling when he was last?
Oh, Duke, I'd drop my head, mate. Like I said, the first 20 or 30 at Richmond's ultra important to get yourself a spot. And, mate, he'd missed it, and I could see the outside dogs. They were crashing across. The five was coming across and the outside dogs, and I just knew there was going to be no room at the first turn, and we were in all sorts of pain. And so I dropped my head, and, mate, no sooner I'd looked up to see what the carnage was after the first turn, and mate, he'd somehow got into second place. So, you talk about being blessed or good luck. We used it all that night too.
Struggle Street, who had box number one, and all our speed mats had 30 talks clearly in front of Struggle Street in the run to the first turn. Struggle Street did you an enormous favour because he wanted to get off at that first turn, and that gave 30 talks, the dream run through. Down the back straight, he's two behind Vidi Vici, not a noted strong greyhound. I guess your hopes were rising then, Tone.
Yeah, mate, it's funny how it turns out. Like you said, you can do all the form in the world, and Struggle Street wasn't meant to be up there, and yet he jumped. He actually jumped better than us, and he posied up nice and close. And when he went off at the first turn, that left the gates open for us. And mate, once he was into second, you always knew he was going to be hard to hold out, and he just had to do the right thing to when he got to Vidi Vici. And and he even sort of fluffed that a little bit. They come together slightly, and Joanna was coming quickly. So, mate, it was a nervous run, and I pulled the whip at the 618 boxes and let out a few cheers, which you don't normally do. But, mate, it was so exciting. It's just been an amazing 4 weeks, and one of my most pleasurable wins I've had.
He pulled away to beat Joanna for Manny Antonelli. Vidi Vici hung on for third in the time of 30:68. And I mentioned to you on Saturday Night Zone that one of the things that they can't take away from you is that you are the first ever winner of the Richmond Riches Puppy Classic. And we've seen, as you said on Saturday night as well, the hype that has been around this. And all it does to me is consolidate the future of the auction and the race itself.
Yeah, for sure, mate. Like you said, that'll be history. And they'll always talk about the first one and how someone paid that much money for a young pup and how he got up to win the race. And, mate, hopefully the dog's got a long way to go yet and he can really cement a name in the sport sort of thing. So, no, the Richmond auction, like you said, I hope that cements it and they can keep it going at the level it has. And, yeah, it was just a great buzz for the whole month of racing there. It was all a lot of talk about these dogs and to end up with the field they did and the final they had, mate, just a true credit to the club.
And the crowd that was there on Saturday night, Tone, I turned around from where I was hosting on the track and I turned around and the entire front lawn was covered in people.
Yeah, you don't normally see that at provincial tracks. On the big nights in Melbourne and Easter egg night, you see that. But mate, it is. It's a great feeling as a trainer to walk out onto a ground straight track and turn back and look at the crowd. And it was. The place was full, and like I said, it just had a great buzz about it, and full credit. There were kids everywhere, and it makes it a pleasure to race when there's a crowd like that. There's atmosphere, and it takes you back to the old days a little bit. So, I just love it, mate. It certainly confirmed to me why I'm in this game and why I just love what I do.
Have you had a chance to speak with Lenny since the win?
No, mate, I can't. Lenny doesn't have a mobile phone. He's a bit old school. So Gloria's got the mobile, mate, so you've got to catch her when she's in there. And, that's a bit hard, but I'm trying to get down to see him, and I'll take the rug and trophy down for him. But I did hear that he'll be out in the next few days, so we'll see how that pans out. But no, mate, there's celebrations to come for sure.
Yeah, I spoke to her on Sunday morning as she told me Lenny was going in for another small operation. He was still in hospital. So, again, our best goes out to Lenny Antonio, the owner. Tone, the immediate racing plan, 4:30 talks, I believe, is the Flying Amy Classic Heats this Thursday night. How has he pulled up after the run?
Yeah, mate, he pulled up really good. That's the thing about him. He recovers so well, and we pretty much headed straight home after the meeting. And he travelled great, and a few days back at home now. Nothing like your own kennel and your own bed. And he was scratching up this morning, so we put a nom in for the Flying Amy, and that's on Thursday night. And we'll sort of stay at home for a bit now. There's that, and then the Group 1. And like I said, mate, he's sort of the dog that just gets better as he goes on a track. So we'll concentrate at Albion and hopefully come Group 1 time. Then we'll see when he's up against the real good group dogs how he measures up.
Yeah, well, I know you've got a big opinion of him, mate. Let's hope he can fulfil that for you and also Lenny Antonio. Tony Brett, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We are thankful for the time that you give us here on Going Greyhounds and also the Catching Pen and on Sky Racing. Good luck with 30 talks in the future, mate.
Pleasure, Duke. Yeah, much appreciative, mate. You did a great job covering it as well. That was it. The people at home that I've talked to that said the coverage on Sky too, it's nice to get that for dog racing, mate, so much appreciated.
Good on you. Tony Brett joins us on Going Greyhounds, the winner of the first ever Richmond Riches Puppy Classic, from the winner to the general manager of the Richmond Race Club. Brad Adam joins us. Morning, Brad.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good, mate. You must have been over the moon with the crowd that you got there and the reception that they gave those greyhounds in the Richmond Riches Puppy Classic on Saturday night. It was, as Tony said, it was a throwback to the old days.
Yeah, look, it certainly was. And yes, firstly, the crowd was ecstatic with the support that we've had for the whole series. The whole 3 weeks has been really well received. Heats night was fantastic. Semis just as well, and then of course the final night, and as Tony mentioned, the crowd was just just fantastic. And, of course, I've got some our committee were saying to me all night long how they haven't seen this sort of crowd come to the track in many, many years. And look, our big focus was families, bring your families, bring the kids. And everybody turned out in their droves. And then, of course, just to see 30 Talks do what he did was just the icing on top of the cake.
Yeah, and look, it's a long way from a blank piece of paper, which is what it was 2 years ago when I first spoke to Wayne Billett about conducting an auction at Richmond. And since then, obviously, Wayne has moved on to Greyhound Racing New South Wales. But we can't forget his deeds and his efforts in getting this race to fruition, getting the puppy auction up and running. And as I say, it's a long way from a blank piece of paper to actually running an auction to seeing the first race run with $100,000 going to the winner.
Yeah, no, of course. And of course, Wayne was one of our special guests on the night, along with the executive of Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Paul Newsom. We had, obviously, everybody up in the function room, and we paid a bit of a tribute to Wayne to say thank you. And you're right, Mark, it was a blank piece of paper some 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And it's not without the, you know, the commitment of the committee, but also the driving force that what Wayne did for the series to get it up and running. And of course, I've just jumped in at the late.
You're riding on his coattails, mate. Be honest.
Of course, mate. Yeah, I'll take all the applause. But no, all the hard work was done for Wayne and into this series. And so yes, so the club are indebted to him for that. And yeah, look, it's the proof's in the pudding. You know, everybody was there on Saturday night. Everyone had a great time. And of course, you know, the result was just, it was the end of the fairy tale. If you want to have an ox pop a dog, 18 months out, the commitment that goes through with that greyhound and then for it to come out and win. And I think the way he won as well sort of won everybody over.
Yeah, it certainly was. And you know, with Lenny being in hospital after the car accident, it was a dream result. It was a dream result for 30 Talks. It was a dream result for the race club. Onwards and upwards now, mate, because we've got to concentrate on the next puppy auction, which will be held on November the 27th this year.
Yes, look, the office just doesn't stop. Before we get to the next auction, this week our office will be sending out all our NOMS forms for the 2015 series. So that's all that sort of paperwork gets underway for us. Of course, in July is our 400 metre series. Then we've got in August, our 600 metre series. And then that all leads then to what you just touched on, the auction, this year's auction, which will be the 27th of November this year. So look, it's all systems go. And the whole auction series now is sort of just taking on its own sort of life, if you like. They run into one another, but it's something that the clubs sort of, we're starting to hang our hat on. And this will be sort of the driving force, one of the main race series now that the club's going to get behind. And we know now from Saturday night we'll get great support for it.
Yeah, certainly. Well, you've done a great job to you, Grant Izzard, Trish Chaker, who handles the catering out there, and the board of Richmond, mate. It was a terrific night on Saturday night. Well done. We'll speak shortly.
Thank you very much. And just a very brief one. Just we need to pass on our sincere best wishes to Lenny. I can let you know, Lenny may not have a mobile phone, but Gloria's on Facebook. So it's all good.
Good stuff. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Brad Adam there, the general manager of the Richmond Race Club, joining us. As I said, it was one of the great nights of greyhound racing, and it was to see it actually come to fruition was outstanding. Dean Swain's about to join us on Going Greyhounds, but before that, just some snippets of news. The Kempsey Cup, a non-tab race, was won in track record time on Saturday by Cobber in Motion for Nathan Goodwin. The English Derby, it reaches its climax this Saturday night with the running of the final there. Lenson Rocky and Droopy's Roddick, they were both semi-final winners on Saturday evening. The New South Wales Commission of Inquiry report, we've been talking about this for, it seems like, 5 years. It's been about 15 months. It was due out this Tuesday. It has been delayed yet again. It comes out in another couple of weeks. And in what is really significant news for New South Wales greyhound racing, greyhound representation on the Wentworth Park Sporting Complex Trust have been removed. So as of last Friday, all the people that were on that Wentworth Park Trust representing the greyhound industry have been removed, and administrator has been put into Wentworth Park, and I know that you have to be Einstein to work out what the future might be at Wentworth Park for greyhound racing. We'll touch on that on the Catching Pen tomorrow night as well. But one trainer who's been having a terrific run at the moment is a young fella. He was born into greyhound racing. Dean Swain joins us. Morning, Dino.
Good morning. How are you going? How's things?
Good, mate. You are having a run, like Anthony Azzopardi. You're having the run of your career at the moment. Miss Foxy Lee took out the National Middle Distance Championship at Canberra last week, and you've got some very, very hot greyhounds at the moment, including one that I was really impressed with on Saturday night at Richmond, a greyhound by the name of Powered.
Yeah, definitely. She's very, very good young bitch, for sure. She's shown a lot of potential from the start.
You've recently started training for Lorraine Atchison, Dino. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, look, I've been asking Lorraine for dogs for about 10 years, to tell you the truth. I've been pestering her.
You wore her down, mate.
You know, I've been saying, when are you going to give me that good dog, Lorraine? And look, you know, the first one virtually I've had for Lorraine is Miss Foxy Lee. And I've got three of hers here and empowered as well. And Runway Bono is an outstanding young dog as well. But look, you know, Lorraine goes back, you know, generations, her family and in the dog industry, and their breed's just incredible and very strong. And you know, I'm on to be training for her, to tell you the truth. And, you know, I keep asking her for more. I know there's a new litter coming through. I said, well, put me down for a few of them as well. So, yeah.
You've got to be on the front foot, mate. As I said, you were born into the greyhound industry. Your dad, of course, is one of the great guys in greyhound racing, and that is City Swain that I speak of. And I love running into City every time I see him and having a chat with him. Dino, yourself as a trainer, you've built your kennels up now. You've got, I think, what have you got, around 20 in work?
Yeah, I've got, look, 25 at any one time. You know, it varies now and again, but that's the most I'll have, you know. And I've been going full-time now, I'd say, nearly going on 4 years, or just my wife and I, Danielle. And, yeah, we do it as a team together. Like, she actually works at Richmond on, you know, actually today, Sunday.
They call her the master chef, mate.
Yeah, true. Yeah, she's doing the barbecues there, selling the tickets and all. And I told Brad, who was just on then, I said, comes at a great cost to me. I got to do it badly on Mondays and Tuesdays, you know. So, look, yeah, she loves doing that, getting out doing something on her own as well. But look, behind me with the dogs, I need a, you know, full on. But yeah, we're a good team together, and we've been doing it for quite a while. And we've got the three kids, and they love the dogs as well. And yeah, real family environment here. I miss Dad now that he's moved, you know, up towards Lithgow, and I don't see him as much as I would like to. But we often go to the dogs together still, and we talk every day. And so it's good. It's just very busy, you know, with the dogs, obviously, and you never stop, Mark, to tell the truth.
As you say, it's a family affair, and that's what greyhound racing is generally all about. Danielle's been at Richmond the past couple of weeks, and she's had a double for you on both of those occasions. As far as greyhounds to follow out of the kennel, mate, Miss Foxy Lee and Powered, are they, along with Runway Bono, are they the three big ones?
Yeah, well, definitely at the moment. I mean, they're racing exceptionally well. I mean, you know, Miss Foxy Lee stepping back to 500 only because of the classic, you know, and age classic, and Norm Powered certainly an incredible amount of ability, you know, and she's just got to obviously, you know, come through the grades and step up, which I think she will. You know, I haven't had a young greyhound actually at her age do what she's doing, and you know, she's broken 15 run home at Richmond the last 2 weeks. It's just unheard of for a young dog, and so I think that you know, a year down the track, you know, she'll be, you know, an outstanding stayer, I'd say, you know. But the other dog got going well, really exceptionally well, is Tilly's Boy. He's won 7 at Wentworth Park now, and he only missed out by 2 weeks for being in the Peter Mossman, which I was, you know, pretty gutted about, to tell you the truth. But, you know, he won last week in a top-grade race by 10 lengths and ran incredible sections, and he's just a real fast dog, and I'm taking him to Brisbane for the Group 1 up there. But, yeah, look, there amongst the quite a few young ones just about to come through soon and race and that, it's looking definitely promising. Sure.
And Dino, I guess anyone who's thinking about buying a greyhound or they may already have one at the moment, they're looking for a trainer, you can always find a kennel for a good pup to come your way.
Oh, you know, most definitely. You know, look, I actually train a few dogs for Dimity, Ma and Joe. They set up PTP syndications, and which is fantastic for the greyhound industry, where you've got people that want to push, you know, new people in the industry to, you know, that you know, want to get involved in dogs that haven't nothing to do with them before. And I've got old timer for them, and he's been a fantastic dog already. He's won about 8 out of 12 starts for me, and won 4 at Wentworth Park. And so it's been a good introduction to some of the owners that I've met already through him is just enormous, you know. And yeah, so, look, I get a great deal of pleasure, Mark, training for owners. And like you said, I've been in the dogs all my life. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I love winning, but I get a great deal of pleasure winning for owners and watching their emotions after the race. It's great.
Yeah. Mate, let's hope your good luck continues, Dino.
Yeah, no, for sure, mate.
Dean, thanks for joining us. Dean Swain on Going Greyhounds this morning, as I said, along with Anthony Azzopardi in Victoria. Dean Swain is the form trainer in New South Wales at the moment and a very, very good young guy with a greyhound, a terrific bloke as well. Feature races this week coming up. We've got the Group 3 Howard Ashton final at Angle Park on Thursday evening. Thursday night as well, we'll see the Group 1 Gold Cup heats for the stays at Albion Park, and then at Wentworth Park on Saturday night kicks off the Group 1 Peter Mossman Classic heats. And don't forget, Cozzy at the Catching Pen tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. Sky Racing 2, Channel 527. That has been a bumper edition of Going Greyhounds.
Certainly has, and we look forward to kicking you tomorrow night on Sky 2. Good on you, Duke. Have a good day.
Thanks, Cozzy.